Well, for the past 5 weeks, we have been on an incredible journey. We have sought to peruse God's Word to find a deeper understanding of the grace, the amazing grace of God. The first week, you remember, we talked about how that grace produces hope, and how that it produces love, and how that grace redeems us, and how that we find victory in grace. The second week, we talked about how that God's grace is relentless. We used the parables in the book of Luke 15, when we talked about how that God searches for us, like the shepherd who searched for his one little lost sheep, and how diligently God is in with his grace, like the woman who lost the coin and searched so diligently to find the coin, and how that God's love and grace waits for us, like the father of the prodigal son. And then the third week we talked about the sufficiency, the all-sufficiency of grace. You remember Kubu's table, my grandmother? I told you about how that Sunday dinner was awesome. Fried chicken and chicken and dumplings and roast and peas and mashed potatoes and all the goodies and homemade rolls, and then always, always banana pudding and fried apple pies. Grandmother's table, Kubu we called her, never did skimp on her dinners, and neither does God. God's banquet table is overflowing with the grace of God. And then we talked about last week, even though God's grace is awesome and does all of these wonderful things for us, how that grace holds us accountable. How that there are responsibilities of grace, in that grace does not negate obedience. It does not give us a license to sin. Paul said, "Shall we sin so that grace may abound?" God forbid, or may it never be so. And how that God's grace does it demands that we not be complacent. And the fact that God's grace was not cheap. He gives us that grace on the blood of Jesus, his son. A price we'll never be able to calculate. Amazing grace of God. An awesome thing. And so in our last study together, and I do appreciate so much the encouragement that you all have been in our study together. You have been very complimentary, and you have been very involved in our study of grace together. But it has profited me much more. I have thoroughly enjoyed renewing my understanding of what the grace of God means in my life for me. And so this morning, as we close our study about grace, we're asking the question, why is the amazing grace of God so amazing? I know that whenever we think about the grace of God, we very often think about how that it brings us a salvation. And well, we should, because Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 8 and 9, "For by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves, it is a gift of God." But this amazing grace not only is the grace that brings to us salvation, but it is a grace that challenges us to live our religion day by day. Here in Titus chapter 2, Paul talks about this grace that brought us salvation, but how that it is a grace that promotes Christian living, that we are to live righteous lives, godly lives, day by day. And so, yes, it is a grace that brings us salvation. But yes, it is a grace that challenges me to live my religion day by day. And so as we seek to ask this question and answer it this morning, why is the amazing grace so amazing? I want us to look at a song that was written way back in 1779. It was written by John Newton, who was enmeshed in sin in his life, and he found the truth and wrote the song, Amazing Grace. And in this song, we find so many truths that bespeak from God's Word the amazing grace of God. And so as we think about this morning, the first thing that we note about the grace of God is the depth of His grace. And in that, we see in the song, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saves a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, and now I see. It speaks to us the depth of God's grace. It reaches down to the very base of sinners. There's no one that the grace of God cannot reach. I've had people say to me, perhaps you have as well, well, preacher, I just don't think that God can save me. I've done so many things that I'm ashamed of in my life. I just don't know if God even wants me. God's grace reaches deep. It reaches down to the lowest depths of sin. The grace of God can reach any sinner. And the blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse you of your sins. I know we live in a world that seems to be spiritually blind. We live in a world that is sin polluted. And we live in a world that for many, it seems like hope is gone. But they have not been touched by the love of God or the grace of my Master. Paul wrote in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15, he said, it is a trustworthy statement, deserving full acceptance, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. And Paul said, among whom I am foremost of all. Or he said, I am the greatest of all. Paul said, if His grace reaches down to me, it'll reach us all. We sing a song sometimes. His grace reaches me. And we also sing about the wonderful grace of Jesus that reaches down to even me. And so it does. One of the things we note about the amazing grace of God is its depth. It reaches to the very depth of sin. But another thing we notice is how that the grace of God, the height of it. In his song, the second verse said, 'twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. God's grace can reach down and pull us up. Again, we sing, I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing call, and love lifted me. The grace of God reaches down and brings us up to new heights, because when we believe His great truth, when we repent of our sins, when we confess that He is the Christ, and when we are baptized for the remission of our sins, we are, watch this now, raised to walk in newness of life. There's a different plane, a different me. Because the grace of God changes me, or should. I think about Peter and the challenge that God, that Jesus gave him the very first time they ever met. He said, I'm going to call you the rock. Well, Peter was anything, my friend, except the rock. The shifting sand, maybe. And how many times did we see Peter, the shifting sand? The one who thought he was the rock and stepped out of the boat, and the shifting sand, he sank as Jesus had to reach down and lift him up. How that on the Mount of Transfiguration he spoke and said, let's build 3 tabernacles, one for Moses, one for Elias, and one for Jesus. And God himself said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased, hear ye him. So it took a while, but the grace of God was working in his life. And we see that same Peter, the shifting sand that denied him 3 times, I never knew him, and cursed and swore to emphasize how he never knew the Master. Become the rock that stood up on the day of Pentecost to say, this same Jesus that you've crucified, God hath made both Lord and Christ. And prick the hearts of those, so that over 3,000 people were baptized that day. The height of the grace of God is that it raises us up, changes our life, gives us a foundation that this world does not have, a foundation that lasts through this life and into eternity. I think Paul said it best as he wrote, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires, and to live righteously and godly in this present age, looking for a blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed, and to purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous of good deeds. And truly it is so that the grace of God is amazing because of the height of it. But then the amazing grace of God is so amazing because of the width of it. Again, Newton wrote in these words in his song. He writes, through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Twas grace that brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. no roadblock, no obstacle by Satan, no mountain of struggle, no load of heartache, pain, or sorrow, or tears is too powerful or too overwhelming for the grace of God. It's there for our everyday living. Why, oh, why would we be so foolish as to try to take on this world on our own when we have the power and the strength of the grace of God? And so it was that Paul realized this so vividly as he found in his life what he called a thorn. And something that he just that tried to keep him back and hold him back and keep him from doing what he knew and wanted to do as a Christian. And three times he asked God to remove it. And in 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 9, the answer that God gave Paul was, "My grace." There it is. There's your power. There's your strength, Paul. You can handle the thorn because my grace is sufficient for you. What is your thorn? What holds you back? What do you struggle against? Is it some kind of sin that just keeps coming at you? Some kind of temptation that just bombards your life and you're struggling against it? Is it a realization that this world is not my home, that I'm just a passing through? Do I need to understand? Do I need to grasp a fuller meaning of what faithfulness to the Master really, really is? Is it someone or something that is standing in my way? Someone that maybe have said something that hurt me? Oh, that can... But when somebody says something to hurt my family, man, that's tough. But God is saying, my grace is sufficient for you. Is it a health concern? Is your thorn a health problem that you're having to deal with? And it just don't seem to be able to shake this thing. And God says, my grace is sufficient for you. I'm telling you, friend, brother, it's a power. It's a power that God has bestowed upon us. And so whenever Paul came to this realization, finally, here in 2 Corinthians 12, verses 9 and 10, here's what he said. Most gladly, therefore, I rather boast about my weakness, that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I made strong. Why, Paul? Because of the grace, the amazing grace of God. But then finally this morning, why is God's grace so amazing? Because of the length of God's grace. Again, Newton writes this in his wonderful song. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. The Lord in His wonderful mercy will not only take us through this life, it will take us to life. Just to know that heaven can be my home is a power that can take me through tomorrow. I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know who holds tomorrow. And so tomorrow can be a blessed day. And if tomorrow I don't see this life and this earth anymore, I know that heaven can be my home. Paul had suffered a lot to be a Christian. Came down to the end of his life saying, I know in whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. And he said, I fought a good fight. I finished the course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown. And then he added, and not for me only, but for all of them that love is appearing. It's just not Paul's crown, it's your crown. And my crown. And it's there and made possible because of the amazing grace of God. Listen again to Paul, or to John in Revelation chapter 5. As he looks at the wonderful heavenly home and sees this. Then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne and the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. And every created thing which is in the heaven and on the earth and under the earth and on the sea and all things in them, I heard saying, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be the blessing and honor and glory and dominion forever and forever. Why is the amazing grace of God so amazing? Because of the depth of it, it reaches down to the sinner and brings him up. The height of it, the width of it, the length of it. The story of the great and marvelous grace of God is a story that never grows old, not in this life and not in the life to come. God's amazing grace is beyond a question. Absolutely amazing. Amazing. And thank God that you loved old Larry that much. Close this morning with 2 Corinthians 8 verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you through his poverty might be made rich. If there's any way we can help you to reach and grab and hold in your life the amazing grace of God, will you come while together we stand and sing? Sit right here, buddy. Sit right here. Control. I give my.